I am Mark Young, my beautiful wife, Tish Young. When we get a chance to travel to do ministry, I always tell people she's my sweetheart, and if she wasn't here, I'll be sugar-free. But y'all will get that next week. But definitely, we're in partnership. Like, we've been actually a part of the G&E since 2010. I actually remember meeting Tom in 2007. Giving me an opportunity. It was my first time to speak at any type of evangelism event was in 2014, was the last time I was here in Connecticut. But since 2010, me and my wife has gotten very, very deep involved in ministry. I can tell you a little bit by myself. Born in Miami, Florida, my father was an AME pastor. When I was 14, my father passed in the pulpit on a Sunday, and I wanted nothing to do with church, right? I was so much not wanting nothing to do with church that I actually learned how to do sound so I could be in the back of the church, run up, give the microphone to the pastor, and then run back to the church because I was afraid of the pulpit, right? And it wasn't until 2007 I remember getting involved, coming out to Portland to the actual City Fest there, and just amongst so many evangelists that I thought I was coming to learn to put on a concert, but literally I left there heading back to Florida knowing how to lead people to Jesus. And since then, this whole walk of us doing mission trips and doing evangelism crusades or festivals, doing some of our own in Marietta and Miami and doing block parties. But once we actually hit Zambia, God did a shift in our heart. We actually got a chance, it was our first time really meeting Desmond. We got a chance to speak and do a part of what we call, as they said, no egos and logos, a crusade with over 20-something evangelists from around the world to come to one country and one city and just everybody gifts, go into the city and just impact the city with all of the message of Jesus Christ and all leading people to Christ in a crusade for 7 nights. And we've seen over 6,000 people give their life to Christ. And me and Tish gets on the plane and goes, those people were not discipled. They were not healthy. They were not educated and they were not employed. And a lot of times we get back from these countries, we notice that we get calls from people that we've called ourselves disciple, and they're like, well, we need a car. Well, we need this house built. And me and my wife was praying, and God said, we need to really have them be sustained. And we understand that this does not take part until we become one and we bring down our egos and logos. And as you can see, Joshua 1:11 is our foundation of Massey, which stands for missionaries in service of Yahweh. That is, we're to go through the camp, just as Joshua was told, right? And to tell the officer to prepare the people to the camp to get themselves ready. We can do the crusades, and we need to do the crusades, but what happens when we leave? And that's where we are, what we call the Nehemiah movement, right? Working together is better. I remember Louise saying, if we work together, we could go farther. And then I remember Kevin Palau saying to me one day, if we just allow Jesus to be the CEO of our ministry, everything will come together. And so that's what this really looks like. And I just have a quick slide that I want to share with you to the next slide. It says, what happens when evangelists and missionaries work together? You know, it's funny when we go as evangelists or people go as a missionary, it's like, well, evangelists go and they come home. And then the missionaries say, we go and stay, but do they do really evangelism? And that's what I think we see the gap is missing. Because one thing we've noticed from Zambia, and I share this from a young man that I talked to, often throughout when we're here, he asked me, he goes, Mark, is it the same Jesus that we serve in Livingston, Zambia? Is that the same Jesus you serve in America? And I say, well, sure. He say, well, why does Jesus in America look like he take care of you better? Think of that from him looking here. So I'm like, man, here's a guy that's reading the Bible, but now he's becoming Thomas. Because now he's doubting that this is the same Jesus. Because there's no sustainability. There's no equipping and educating and getting them employed where they depending on God versus depending on ministry or depending on man, correct? But if we work together, if we go, as people ask, what is Massey? Well, we're an evangelist ministry. We're a missionary ministry that goes and do evangelists, right? And by us doing that, we don't go on our own accord. We go with what's already working. So as this bag right here, It's called KB, Kind of Big Deal, which is one of our sisters in the G&E, Tara, which she gives me and my wife these aprons that we, my wife gets a chance to share about the, Suzanne Wesley story. And I tell you, my wife shares this story as if she did it. But, and then we give out these bags to the little boys for the, you're kind of big deal. But this is not something Massey Vision came up with. This is the vision God gave Tara. But our goal is we take it there and we become one because we work together that we can become evangelists as missionaries on the field. The next slide says, the evangelists arrive. We bring up a follow-up team. We get the whole country in relationship with building with our churches and communities and organizations, government. And then the next thing we do is the big crusade happens, right? We have relationships built through the churches. We do the follow-up. We get the follow-up teams created. Hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ. And then we go home and the missionaries left there with the follow-up team. And then they leave home. They go and sit on the ground. They get all of this going together for the gospel, but they're really just showing them how to live, but are they truly showing them how to evangelize and to become disciples? So one thing God gave us in this opportunity, was called heed, for us to pay attention and take notice of what's going on, which that's where me and my wife have came to this point of. Heed stood for health, educate, employ, and truly disciple. We want to walk with them daily. We're leaving our home in America. Yes, everybody's like, why are you leaving America? Well, first of all, God is calling us to go to Zambia to set up a template that comes behind crusades and set up discipleship, set up health, set up education, and employ those that would ever get a chance actually to learn how to depend on God and not depend on man or ministry. So the next one is in health. The Bible tells us in Matthew, it says, Matthew 9:12 says, but when he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. We have to stay behind and heal the sick. And that's one of the things you've seen in the video is where on this Nehemiah movement, there will be a clinic. And as you've seen the two young girls speaking, that is Pastor Teddy's daughter, two of his three daughters that are, from Zambia, the youngest one, and Kumbu is now in Washington, D.C. She's studying. Kumbu is in Washington, D.C. studying to be a neurosurgeon. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Nkumbu is the middle child. I'm sorry. She's in Washington, D.C. studying to be a neurosurgeon. And then Wampa is in the U.K. studying to be business management. And then Choe actually just got back from China being she's actually a certified doctor. And their goal is to come back and work in a clinic that way before they met us on this property to build a clinic where we can pour into this village health, just as Jesus said, heal the sick. So that's part one of it. And then the next section is to educate. And Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. And one of the things is we want to show them how to fish, right? We're actually going to create tilapia fish farming, not only to feed them, but to educate them. And then also we want to come and show them how to begin making their own tilapia fish farm. So here it is. Now we're providing sustainabilities, providing jobs, providing education. And then the next slide says we want to employ them. Colossians 3:22-23 say, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of the eye of service as people pleasers, but in the sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And verse 23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, teaching them once again how to work for God. Because I could tell you a lot of times we say in ministry, if we was working for the church or working for people, we would have been gone, right? But if you're working for the Lord, we always tell people we're at our church because the Holy Spirit sent us there, not because we had the best worship service. And once you're starting to do because what the Lord has sent you for, that's when you know you're in the right place and you're in the way of in the will of what Lord wants you to do. And then lastly, a disciple. You know, the Great Commission of Matthew 28 is all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to Jesus, right? He says, but go therefore and make disciples. I could tell you, growing up in the AME church, I remember, and I told my sister and my two brothers that are pastors, I always tell them, we was taught how to be members. We wasn't taught how to be a disciple. And then what happened was we seen the church lose members, and then they say, we need to go make disciples. But I was like, how do we go make a disciple when we've never been discipled? And I think that's something we're missing actually in the villages and the places of Africa. We have teaching them how to accept Christ, but we're not teaching them how to become a disciple. And we're asking follow-up teams to make them disciples, but they're truly not been discipled, because if Thomas walked with Jesus for 3 years and still doubted, if we're leaving a follow-up team that's not really been discipled, we're actually teaching him to disciple something that he's truly not discipled in. So that's what me and my wife said. We're going to move there and walk with them until God tells us to leave and set up this template that will come behind major crusades, because we got to keep the gospel growing. One crusade can't stay in one country. It needs to move. But the sustainability and discipleship needs to come behind. And then the next slide is the Nehemiah. That's what consists of the Nehemiah community. And it's not just building a wall, but it's about building the hearts of the people back to God. And we wanted this, like, literally when in April of 21, we purchased this land, and I had the heart of just purchasing the land to invest. I've been working for Southwest Airlines here in the States for over 21 years. And I was like, we're just going to invest. And we brought 15 and a half acres of land for $9,000. And literally, I'm like overjoyed, happy. We get back to our Airbnb, talking to Tish about it. You know, we're just so happy. And I go to sleep that evening, and the Lord spoke to me in a dream. He goes, you are going to invest. But Mark, you're going to invest in the people of Zambia. And your land is going to be called the Nehemiah Movement. You're not only going to build the wall, but I want you to build the hearts of the people back to me. And this is what we're doing. We're sacrificing everything that we achieved here in America to go to Africa to actually see this done in the country. And you say, why Zambia, right? Zambia was a place that God has placed us where we can actually find people that we can trust. The land was cheap, and the gospel is people are thriving and hungry for it. So our goal is once we get this completed there, it can move, right? You know, if there's another community that a crusade goes to and there's a big harvest, we want to send in. It doesn't have to be 15 and a half acres of land, but it can be a sustainable and discipleship project where we can actually lead people to become disciples that makes disciples that become these disciples that makes disciples. And the next slides kind of show you what that looked like. We'll start out with 8 fish ponds. That's tilapia fish ponds and a garden. And each pond would hold 10,000 tilapia. And it harvests every 6 months. And so we already have the plans to it. We just got back in June of this past year, and we've dug 3 wells already. 2 of the commercial wells will provide everything to the community and the fish ponds. And then we had a hand pump well where they can actually now pump water where they wasn't getting water until they walked 5 miles. We want to do a mission house where we can bring missionaries there year round, and then a gift center, which is no more than a commercial community center where we can provide church services, weddings, conferences. And then my wife wants to do a commercial kitchen where we can teach culinary arts, clean cooking, teach ladies how to cook and prepare meals. And then the medical center, the school that has a processing center back there for the ponds, and then an orphanage where they will be having a mom and a dad, which Pastor Teddy Kwamfa and his wife Beauty are already interviewing mothers and fathers to live there. And then lastly, not but a church facility. One thing we did find out, we just did a outreach in this village. Most of the people there that are believers are Seventh-day Adventists. So we're going to do a Saturday service on Saturday evening, and then Sunday service will be outreach services where we just impact the whole village. But one of our biggest challenges there is what the Muslims are doing. So what the Muslims came in and said after our Livingston crusade, they said, I'm so glad that you introduced them to Jesus, but you never met their needs. He said, we're going to meet their needs and introduce them to Muhammad. They prey on the young women that are single, Christian, and that has, you know, that has children. And they said, we ask that first of all, Are you a Christian? Yes. Well, you can go to your Christian church and we'll take care of your kids and send them to school. We'll provide you a job. If your kids are teenagers, we'll provide them a job. And like I said, you can go to your church, but your children must come to the mosque with me. And we even found out this not only happening in this village and other areas in Zambia, but here in Delaware, they're doing the exact same thing in the States, but they don't call the mosque a mosque. They call it the community center. And how many of us know we don't mind sending our children to a community center? And then we see a commercial on television said the Muslim, American Muslim Society is going to change America one child at a time. So me and my wife's like, whoa, we need to stop just having church and actually provide these communities or provide an opportunity where people could become sustainable and disciple. And one of the things that really just like blew us away was the way that the Muslim community is going out. Like we were in Lusaka one day and they had these shirts on saying, come talk to me and I'll tell you why I love Jesus. And I was like, wow, we really need to get on the ball because we know people want their needs met, correct? So a discipleship community, the next slide. If we can build a 55-year-old community in the U.S., why couldn't we build a discipleship community around the world? You know, in the South, that's big. 55 and older, they have a whole community and they do community together because you're 55 and older. But what would it look like? See, I was brought up in a Christian family, but what would it look like if we was brought up in a whole community of disciples? And that's what we're trying to create from the bottom up. Building these disciples, doing what God called us to do and living out the book of Acts, right before our young kids. So they would understand what it is to look like to be a disciple. So how do we do that? We need to partner. We need to partner together. One thing I've seen what God is creating with me and my wife, like next October, with another GNE member, Keith Cook, and, on the go with Alan Green, we're going to Thailand because our goal is, the gospel cannot stop being shared. We must share the gospel. Because if people don't see us sharing the gospel, they don't see us unified. I'm going to tell you, they're going to move towards what unity looks like to them. And I'll close with this last, comment. We were serving, we do a lot of homeless outreach in Atlanta and we were serving, just when we first got to Atlanta, we were serving bags of food and my wife had cooked up this good meal and was giving out other types of food. And this young guy sitting on the other side, he's just sitting there watching us. And at the time we had just got to Atlanta and I was passing out our little ministry cards and a lot of the churches would take it and then they wouldn't take it. And some of them was telling me, just push your hand away. It was like, no, thank you. And when I went to hand the guy the card, I actually went to give him some food and he goes, he says to me, big man, I'm not hungry, but could I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, let's talk. So I sat down next to him. He goes, you know, I'm out here mostly every day. And I notice all these ministries come up all the time. And he goes, some of them I know. He goes, I noticed they wouldn't even, some of them like waved you off and wouldn't take your card. He goes, are you a minister? Are you a church? I said, we're an evangelist group that does mission outreach. And he goes, man, I can tell you, being out here, you guys seem so divided. And he goes, if you are divided, why should I come to your church? This is a homeless guy. And he goes, I've been in gangs here in Atlanta, and I've seen more unity and love in the gangs than I ever seen in this parking lot. And that stuck with me because here we are, the body of Christ, doing God's work in our own box, but there's no unity. And you got to think about it. If we're not unified, what would make the lost want to come to us? So this would really been putting a burden on me and my wife hard as we work with Desmond and work with everybody in the G&E. Our heart is, how do we work together? We've told people, you want to come put the orphanage on our land? We'll put it in your name. We don't care because the goal is long as God get the glory. So I just want to share with you, I think it's a couple of table things that we can talk about is how could you join hands with a missionary or an evangelist? And bring that into you. Where's your gift in that? I love one of, as I always share this, I think I shared it in Zambia, is unity does not mean looking the same. Unity means your gift, my gift, coming to the table that the God gets the glory. And that's what, as we've spoken about earlier, how, I think it was, I can't remember who was talking about it, but it was like literally we do better things together. Collaboration, unity is what God is calling us for. And until we do that, the world would know God, the world would never know Jesus was sent, right? And then the next is, what would it look like to add an element of discipleship community to your next mission? We have to provide discipleship. That's what he told us to do. He didn't tell us to go make members. The AME church was great at making members. I could tell people, I remember when my father had passed away, and I learned how to play church because I had that little African-American mom. It was like, oh, you still going to church? And I had all the sayings down pat. I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah, you know, yes, and the Lord ordered my steps this morning. He didn't order my steps Friday because I was in a strip club. Yeah, I'll get that later. But literally, because I knew how to play church, right? But our goal is, the next thing is really going out making disciples. What is disciple? Walking with people daily, just like Jesus walked with them. Jesus was with the disciples, learning them, walking with them, teaching them, until they were able to go off after he left and do what he called them to do, is what we're doing today, going out and making more disciples.